Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11, ending in chapter 6, verse 3, where we see that in order to grow in our walks with the Lord, sometimes there are areas of our lives that need some progress. In today's message, Pastor Dave talks about how we need to not be novices and immature in our walks with the Lord. We need to grow in Christ and allow Him to take us from babes to full-grown adults. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 5 with a message entitled, Babes in Grace.
We are in Hebrews in that spirit this morning. We are in Hebrews chapter 5. We've got our work cut out for us this morning here. We'll begin our study in verse 11. We'll move, God willing, I believe, to chapter 6, verse 3. I'm calling my message this morning, Babes in Grace. And the word babe that I'm using in my title is a I pulled from our, it's not a complimentary word. It's not a thing of, oh, look at the little babe, the baby there that's so cute in its carriage or in its stroller. It's a word that speaks of immaturity, both in the text and then also in my title. It's a word that speaks in the proper sense of the word of stunted growth. Something's not right. Babes in grace. We'll expound on that as we move. And if you're wondering here as I begin my sermon, Pastor, you did a Mother's Day. Not only did you give the ladies flowers, you also did a sermon for them. You didn't give us anything, and you're staying in this tough book of Hebrews. And I sought the Lord, and I felt led by the Holy Spirit to keep taking us through here. And I think that there will be things for us as dads that flow from this text quite supernaturally, naturally. So we'll see those things as we move through this. Let's do a reading here from chapter 5, verse 11, down to chapter 6, verse 3, so that we can let some of these things sink into the depths of our hearts. We'll pray again, ask the Lord for His blessing, and then we'll pull apart the text as the Holy Spirit leads. The writer here says in chapter 5, verse 11 of Hebrews, if you didn't bring your Bible, please follow on the screen behind me. He says, of whom, speaking of Melchizedek, who was introduced to us last week, he says, of whom we have many things to say. He says, but they're hard to be uttered. I can't say what I want to say to you, he says. There's an issue here. Seeing, and that's a reason word, and he's going to list a bunch of reasons now. He says, I can't tell you what I want to tell you. Number one, you're dull of hearing. He goes on to say in verse 12, when for the time you ought to be teachers, the second problem, you're supposed to be teachers by now of the things that you have heard, you have need that one teaches you again, which be the first principles, the ABCs of Christianity, of the oracles of God. And you have become such that have need of milk and not strong meat. You got problems here. You're babes in grace. For everyone, verse 13, this is another issue, he says, that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Again, there it is. That's that word there that we pull for our title this morning. He's a babe, a person that's that way, and it's not okay. It's not cute anymore. When a grown person acts like an infant, that's when parents become concerned. That's when what used to cause you to be laughing and joyful causes you to be a little weepy and teary-eyed and saying to the person that you're married to, what's wrong here? What do we've got on our hands? The writer's saying, that's what I've got with you. He says, you're babes. He goes on to say here, strong meat, verse 14, belongs to them that are full age. That's maturity. He's not speaking numerically there. He's speaking of maturity. Spiritually, he says, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised. There's effort here, there's development here. He says, exercise to discern both good and evil. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 1, leaving the principles, he says, the word of the beginning of Christ, he says, the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation. Can't do that every week. I can't come in here and scream about hope in heaven every single Sunday. We will never develop and grow. It can't just always be fiery preaching and all of the names of Jesus, you know, in the Bible and all of these exciting chants that are motivational. There will never be growth. There'll never be growth, the writer says. This is a very relevant word for today. He says there's got to be a going on in our lives. He says we must move on unto perfection, that's completion. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead, works and faith toward God, doctrines of baptisms, verse 2, and of laying on of the hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do, he says, if God permits. Eugene Peterson translates verse 3 of chapter 6 by saying this, but there's so much more. Let's get on to it. J.B. Phillips renders it verse like this, let us go on, please. Father, would you open your word, speak to our hearts now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. There are here marks of immaturity. If you're really wanting to summarize our Bible study this morning, that's what the writer is doing. He's giving marks of immaturity. He's saying, I want to talk to you guys about deep things. I got a heart to get into the Word of God with you. I want to unfold Scripture for you. I want to have fun with you guys and take you to the Old Testament and show you how Jesus, you know, he is of the order of Melchizedek. That's the lineage that he comes from in his priestly ministry. These are things that should be, you know, at this point, by this time, you should be able to be able to receive these things. Some of you have been on the scene here, he's saying, for 10, 20, 30 years. Some of you actually heard the words of Jesus when he spoke in the temple precincts. You heard the apostles, you're hearing the apostles give the word of God. You're second generation Christians, and already your hearts have waxed cold. They've grown hard. I want to keep flowing here in my writing to you. He says, I want to get into deep developmentary things with you. He says, but I got to do a timeout real quick. And he's going to give them here this rebuke. He's going to give them this, it's an exhortation, of course, to go deeper, but it's also a thing of like, you got to check yourself. You've got to take inventory. And I think it's appropriate for you and I to come to this text this morning and say, we've got to take some inventory too. You know, it is not a compliment for somebody to call you a babe in Christ, a babe in grace after you've known Jesus for some time. If you first come to Christ, if I did an altar call today and you got saved, Jesus, as he said to Nicodemus, you're now born again of the Spirit, so you're a babe in Christ. And that goes on for a while, but like after 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you're still where you were when Christ saved you? This is alarming, the writer's saying. And pastors and teachers of God's word are supposed to sound the trumpet on this subject matter. See, I can't stand before God with clean hands if all I ever do is come out here and pump you guys up, motivate you for exciting topic subject matters. I got to come out here and teach you. And the writer here is saying, listen, sometimes the issue is the teacher or preacher. They're boring. And really, quite honestly, there's nothing worse than sitting under a boring preacher or teacher in church for 40, 45 minutes. But there's also an obligation on the hearer. There's also a due diligence on the listener or the reader in this instance. And there's a rebuke here. He's saying, you got to take some responsibility here for why I can't take you to deeper waters. It ain't all on the preacher. If I could, before I get into my points of marks of immaturity in areas where pilgrims should make progress, before I get into that, if I could just speak to all of you guys that are teachers here this morning or aspire to be teachers, if you teach our children's ministry, if Dylan is in here, I'm sure if not, he'll be in second service. Michael, if you're in here, if you're not, I'm sure you'll be in second service or you hear me wherever you are in the building. Daniel, my brother, Mike Pass, if in the back. You guys that are handlers of God's word, if I could speak to you and anyone else who aspires to be, this is a freeing word for you and I this morning. We don't bring it. So many times there's this, man, you've got to bring it this morning. Listen, all we got to do is be faithful to be ourselves in Christ and give what Jesus has given to us in Scripture. You guys got to fight the culture. I got to fight the culture of thinking we've got to look this way, talk this way, speak this way, enunciate this way. You know, we got to bring in other things that appeal to the senses to keep the audience engaged. The Holy Spirit says none of that. You better be careful if you start to appeal to carnality in your preaching, because where does it end? Listen, where does it end? If I got to have a prop every week, if I got to bring, you know, my sister-in-law on stage, and this is what I see on Instagram. This is what I see on social media. I listen and watch Bible teachers all week long. This is what I see. It's more common than not common. I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with those things from time to time, but if it becomes a weekly thing, where does it end, Bible teacher? I don't want to hear that, you know, it's the 21st century, so we got to have more to engage the culture. Everybody's ADD. Everybody's, you know, distracted. Nobody can really, no. The Bible is timeless, and we are freed up by the writer's rebuke to the audience by saying, you got to do your part too. We're called to feed the flock. It's on you too to respond, to receive with the word that is given to you. You see what I'm saying? We got to be careful. If every single Sunday I come up here with something new, man, now it's on me. There's this pressure. Now it's on you, Dylan. Now it's on you, Michael. Now it's on you, Daniel. How am I going to perform? How am I going to engage these people? I move, I walk, I use my hands, and I use the lapel because that's being me. But if you're somebody who stands behind a pulpit and you're prepared and you've saw God and you got a word from heaven and you're a little bit softer in your speech, and you're a little bit slower, I want to free up you Bible teachers this morning. Then you be your sanctified self and be you. The power isn't in you apart from the power of the Spirit of God. And you better be careful what you start. Your whole, you know, the whole thrust of your message will become a stream of stories and jokes. Little room for scriptures. You'll start to avoid tough Bible topics. And there's a temptation to do that. Another moment of my speaking to you Bible teachers. You'll start to come into books like Hebrews, and you'll say, oh, my God, let's just go right to chapter 12, the Hall of Faith, chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, get into chapter 12, the exhortation. Let's get out of all of this. These are tough waters here. We've got to move through tough waters, Bible teachers. That's our duty before the Lord. Don't gut the Bible. Nobody gave you any right to do that. The writer here says we've got an issue, and he's going to go off for the end of chapter 5 and then into some really tricky things into chapter 6 before he brings us back in chapter 7 to what he was talking about in chapter 5, verse 10, Melchizedek. He says, I can't even talk to you guys about things that I should be able to talk to you about. He says, and there's some reason for it. And now it's an opportunity for all of us to come to the text and say, okay, Lord, search my heart, show me. Number one, he says, you're dull of hearing. You see that there? In verse 11, he says, I want to talk to you about Melchizedek. He says, but I can't do that, he says. These are things that are hard for me to be uttering to you, seeing that you are now, you're dull of hearing. The tenses there are this. You've become something that you weren't in the beginning. You are is more literally translated, you've become. You've become dull of hearing. In other words, you weren't always this way. You've become dull, which is lazy. That's it's actually used again in chapter 6. It's the only other time in the New Testament. And the writer is going to use it in the translation of slothful. You're slothful in your hearing and your approaching of Bible study. You're lazy. You got this move me mentality when the word of God is going forth. And if the speaker isn't a phenomenal orator and electrifying in his presentation, man, you're sitting there with your arms folded toward him saying, man, you're not moving me. I'm not listening. You're monotone. You're boring. You don't engage me. And we've got all these excuses. The Holy Spirit, the writer, says nonsense. You've got an obligation before God to come and approach whatever going forth of the word of God is happening. Bible study live like this, podcasts, radio broadcasts, your devotions. You've got an obligation to come with a disciplined, ready mind to receive. It isn't all on us to move you. Certainly, we should do our very best to give you the word of God, but I'm not going to try to move anybody because I'm not appealing to your emotion. I'm appealing to faith. Faith is not emotion. So I have to come to this because I'm not just a Bible teacher, I'm a Bible student. Before I'm a Bible teacher, I'm a Bible student. I read my Bible every single morning for me, not just Hebrews. I'm in the Gospel of John right now doing my own devotions. And I have to come to that, and I can't read, like right now I'm in John 10, the chief shepherd, right? I almost had that chapter memorized in some sections. I can't read through that chapter and fall asleep and wake up thinking, this is so boring, this is so, because I'm so familiar with it, there's something wrong with my own heart. If I do that, then I become something that I didn't used to be. When I first read John chapter 10, I was blown away, jaw to the ground. You know, that Jesus, he has me in his hands, John tells us, right? He has me in his hands, and no man can pluck me from it. That was so freeing to me. I'm not going to lose my salvation. It's predicated upon his keeping power. Those things used to send, like, chills down my spine. I used to be blown away by those things. So now if I come to that, just because I know it's there, and I can't receive from it to get blessed by it, it doesn't mean that the word has grown dull. It doesn't mean that John was base in his writing or something's wrong with the Holy Spirit. It means that I've gotten lazy. It means that I've gotten sluggish. It means that I'm distracted by other things. Back in the beginning, I put my phone down on the coffee table when I was doing my devotions and gave reverence to the word with great anticipation and expectation that God was going to speak. Now it's like, I don't know, I kind of check my phone, my ESPN app comes up and I read, you know, who's injured on the Yankees or what's the latest about Daniel Jones being the Giants, you know, starting quarterback or whatever it would be. That's me giving my heart, it's divided now to the word of God and the things of this life. There's nothing wrong with the scripture. There's something wrong with me. And some of you this morning have to do the same thing, and you got to come to this scripture, and you have to receive this word personally and say, have I become dull? The word dull here was also used in the writer's time to speak of a lion in the jungle that had numb limbs and couldn't stand up, couldn't stand up upright and be able to take its proper position as an alpha, as a dominant figure. And so as a result, had to sort of crawl up into a ball, numb limbs, couldn't roar the way that it should be able to, couldn't have the posture the way that it should have had. And so as a result, became something that it was never intended to be, this sort of, you know, this lame animal that is laying there. That's the word picture here of what he's saying. Some of you have become something that you didn't used to be. You used to go to church, and you used to be ready to hear from God. You used to go to church, and you used to be ready to receive no matter who was in the pulpit because the word of God was going forth. You used to wake up 10, 20, 30 minutes before work, school, and open the Bible, and you knew God was going to give you a golden nugget for that day. Now, you've become dull. And because you've become dull, I can't take you, the writer says. And the Spirit of God says it even more so. I can't take you to deeper waters. Number two, he says here, marks of immaturity. Reason why you're still a babe in grace. Reason why you're still sucking your thumb at 20 years old, if you would, to sort of give you a visualization of what he's trying to articulate here, is this. He says, you don't reproduce yourself. Look what he says here in verse 12. He says, for when for the time, more literally by this time, you are, ought there in verse 12 is a legal word. It's a law word. It speaks of duty. It's your moral duty to communicate truth to others. And he says, and you don't do it. By this time, you have this moral obligation before God to be a teacher. But instead of you being a teacher of God's word, you're still needing to be taught. He's not saying that everyone should have the gift to get behind the pulpit and speak in front of 500 people at a time. That's a totally separate subject matter, having the gift to preach and teach. He's just saying that every believer in Christ should be able to disciple somebody and tell somebody who doesn't know anything about Jesus a little bit about Jesus. So even if you're here today, and you're only 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in to your walk with God and attending church where the Bible is actually taught, you've got more than the person that you work next to in the cubicle right there or in the office next door or across the hall or your neighbor, whoever it would be, that's never heard anything about Jesus. So right away, like pretty much instantaneously after conversion, you become a teacher. You become an influencer. Listen, everybody should have a Paul and everybody should have a Timothy. Everybody should have somebody that they look up to and regard and revere with great respect and say, man, that is somebody who grabs my hand and takes me deeper and closer to Jesus. And then there should be other people that we're grabbing the hand of and say, come on, you gotta check out what I'm learning. You gotta check out what I'm being taught. That's a healthy Christian. And just like when you are a sign that you are physically mature, what is the sign that you are physically mature? When you can begin to reproduce. He says, same thing spiritually. You know that you are growing and going onward, that you are maturing when you begin to reproduce other people in the faith. And I'll tell you something, if you don't start to take steps toward that, you will stunt your growth. And not only will you stunt your growth in Christ, but you'll also sort of just, you just sort of lose your edge. You stop talking to unbelievers about Jesus, you'll just start losing your edge. I'll tell you the truth. You start talking about Jesus to people who don't know him, and you'll see how there's this spark ignited that wasn't once there. Your devotions can't give it to you. Your prayer time can't give it to you. And we here, this community that you enjoy at church, can't give to you what evangelism gives to you. You should be a teacher. Older ladies in the faith here this morning, you should be a teacher to the younger ladies. When the girls come in with their high-waisted dad jeans and their tube-top shirts, you shouldn't sit there with the other older ladies with a cup of coffee and give them scowls and dirty looks and say, I can't believe that tramp just walked in the doors that way. Instead, what you should do is say, there's a young lady who's got no clue about dignity I want to use the word purity, but it isn't even purity. It's just a fad and fashion to them. For you, though, you look at it and you say, that's inappropriate. People are going to be distracted by, you know, by her look and her appearance instead of the going forth of God's word. You need to change the way you think and say, there's a young girl who needs to be discipled and encouraged and taught. There's a proper way to come into church. She's not at the beach. And let me love on her and minister to her and encourage you. Following what I'm saying, you older men that are here today in the faith, same with the younger guys. Some kid walks up to the door, second service, say, you're ushering, and he's got a cigarette or a vape, whatever's going on today, walking up to the door with his hat sideways and his coolie hanging out because his pants are sagged. You don't got to sit there and talk to the other ushers about what a jerk he looks like. You just got to say, there's a young guy who's got to learn a thing or two about respect coming to church and to hear the word of God, you know. Not a thing of you shouldn't wear hats to church, especially backwards, maybe before. No one wants to hear it. It's just a thing of be a teacher. And to be a teacher, you've got to be respected. And to be respected, you've sort of got to earn that and deserve that in somebody's life so that they can give you their ear and learn and grow.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.